Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, January 24th, 2024, on 91.7 FM WHUS Doors. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You can also check out my Facebook page and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Okay, update on the journey of Lyme, Bartonella, and other things. So my latest thing was, a couple things changed. And one was that last week I attempted to take some lymphagogue herbs. So one of the things was that I got my Vibrant Wellness test back, and it did indicate I'd been exposed to Bartonella and that according to their criteria, I definitely have Lyme disease. So all this dysautonomia may have been originally due to excess spike proteins from the vaccine, or it may have just been I had chronic Lyme that resurfaced, and I may have been bitten by a tick this summer. There's a number of possibilities, but the Vibrant Wellness test did suggest that I had been exposed to Bartonella and expressed that I had Lyme disease. So I'm continuing to take Buhner Protocol herbs. I did discover that I was taking a lot of them, and I sort of was getting to a point where I was regularly feeling very sluggish and not feeling well, and I think that things were not moving through me fast enough. So one of the decisions that I made was to cut the dose of what I'm taking, and I noticed that Stephen Buhner himself, I did some research, and Stephen Buhner himself says if you feel like you're reacting too much to your program, that you can cut back on doses. So I did that. And so I cut it just by a third. So instead of three droppers of every herb that I'm taking, I'm only taking two. And instead of three scoops of modified citrus pectin, I'm only doing two. And still drinking it three times a day throughout the day. The other thing I did is I read up on some research by Dr. Zhang. Dr. Zhang treats Lyme. He has very intense protocols. And he's the one who recommends very high doses of garlic. I would love to take high doses of garlic, but I can't because I react to it. I mean, I thought about maybe trying one pill and see how I react these days, but generally I don't do well with onions and garlic, which is unfortunate. So I can do little bits of it as part of a seasoning that's been cooked down or freeze-dried or something like that, but doing high doses of concentrated garlic, stomach-wise, I just can't do it. So I didn't do that. But the other thing I read is that there are certain essential oils that really can kill Lyme disease. One of them is oregano. Another one of them is simply clove oil. And another one is cinnamon oil. So those are very simple. They're relatively easy to get. I have a friend who deals with food grade essential oils. So I had her bring me some clove oil and some cinnamon oil. And they're very strong. So in my cocktail where I put all the herbs, I put in 1 to 2 drops of clove oil and that's it. And 1 and 2 drops of the cinnamon oil. And it's incredible. It flavors the whole 20 ounces of water. It's overwhelming. It like overtakes the lime flavor of the modified citrus pectin. And so I've been taking that. So it's one of the things that I added. So that was interesting. I don't know if that's helping. The other thing is I feel like throughput was an issue. So in terms of when I would go to the bathroom and not go to the bathroom, I feel like the modified citrus pectin, I had too much of it. I had 3 scoops going. And now that I have 2, things are moving along better, if you know what I mean, now that I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. I am also taking chlorella, and I'm taking some chlorella every single day. I try to take 2 doses, but it's hard because you have to take the chlorella at least 1 hour before or 2 hours after you've consumed anything. And that's hard to find time for in the middle of the day, throughout the day. So what I wind up doing is when I wake up early in the morning to go to the bathroom, like if I wake up between 3 and 5 a.m., that's when I take it because it's going to be far enough away from ingesting anything except for water. So taking the chlorella. The other thing that I did is I had a great acupuncture treatment. And after being diagnosed with Bartonella, one of the things we think about is that Bartonella gums up your lymphatics. So lymphatics are vessels that run along your veins. They are high in white blood cells, and they carry wastes away from your body. They they have large aggregates of white blood cells in them. And there are, then you have lymph nodes that pass, the lymphatics pass through the lymph nodes. And those are aggregates where white blood cells hang out and they kill things for you. And then the fluid runs alongside the veins and then dumps back into the vena cavas before it goes into your heart and goes through your circulation. And then it will be carried by the arteries to your liver and then purified. So Bartonella will slow down your lymphatic flow. So I tried taking some herbs that help with lymphatics, and all I took was cleavers, red root, and burdock. One good dose of that, and the next day I felt like what I call sledge baby. I felt absolutely sluggish. So I said, all right, maybe I need to address the lymphatics in another way, that my system is just, you know, too overwhelmed to even be pushed by those lymphagogues. I do take a small amount of echinacea every day because I take a combination that's good for your lungs, and it has echinacea in it. And echinacea is a lymphagogue. It pushes the lymphatics through. I'm also taking berber and pinella. The berber is something that will push the lymphatics as well. And I'm drinking water with lemon in it. And if you're on Facebook Live or Instagram Live, you can see that I have a glass of water with lemon in it. And there happens to be berber and pinella in it as well. Okay. So, and I'm drinking that throughout the day, every day. And so my lymphatics needed help. Well, I went to my acupuncturist, Nicole, on Friday, and she gave me a great treatment, a lot of grounding points, detoxification points, calming points, stress points. And when I told her about the Bartonella and the lymphatics, she said, okay, I'm going to do some lymph points. And so she hit some lymph points that are on or near the elbows, and they were sore. My goodness. So she did that, and so I had a great treatment. I had a great rest, and God love Nicole. She lets me lie there for over an hour, and so in the dark, and it's very, very relaxing because she has those grounding, stress-reducing points plus the lymphagogues. Saturday, I felt great. I felt really so much better. It was incredible. And then on Sunday, I decided it was going to be a really restorative day. I really wasn't going to do very much. On Saturday morning, I was able to ride my exercise bike, my trainer, on Zwift for maybe half an hour, 35 minutes. And then after that, I went and took, a yoga class. So on Saturday mornings, I like to do an easy spin on Zwift and then go and take, a Zoom yoga class, with Angie. So I did that and I was fine. And then I had to do some tax stuff later on. So I did my day and I felt fine. The next day was an even easier day. I didn't have anything I absolutely had to do, and spent an hour, just a little over an hour, on the bicycle, and then did gentle yoga. And then that afternoon, I went back to Yono and did a float. So as you recall, a float is where you're in a flotation tank, and the flotation tank has 1,100 pounds of Epsom salts in it. And you just float there. So my first float experience, I had a little bit harder time with it. I was reluctant to turn the light off. And I did turn the light off for part of it. But towards the end, I had to go ahead and turn the light back on because my brain started to spin. And I was in a lot more pain back in July when I did the first float. So I think I was a lot more anxious, and I hadn't been treating for tick-borne illness at that time. This time, I had had numerous acupuncture treatments, and when I go to acupuncture, it's very similar. She puts in my points, and they're very comfortable rooms, and then she closes the door and turns off the light, and I rest in the dark for over an hour. And so, as it does, and I let the treatment do its magic, and I'm able to breathe and reflect and relax. And I'm used to that because I've had a bunch of acupuncture treatments in the last couple of months. And I look forward to the acupuncture treatments. I enjoy them. And then I feel better after I do them. That's been my experience. So when I got in the float tank this time, I went, all right, this is like you're having an acupuncture treatment, except there's no needles. And the magnesium sulfate, the Epsom salts, are touching all of your acupuncture points at the same time. And just relax and turn off the light, and it'll be like you're having an acupuncture point. And you're not even going to be in here for as long as an hour, because the session is only an hour long. So I did that, and I was able to turn off the lights, close my eyes, relax, and it was fantastic. I relaxed just like it was an acupuncture treatment, except that I was floating, zero gravity, and it was just tremendous. Last time, I had neglected to put earplugs in my ears, and I had trouble with my ears for a good week after that. This time, I said, I'm using the earplugs this time, so Epsom salts don't get into my ears. I could still hear the music. It was a little harder to hear the woman's voice when she encourages you to get out because your session is over. But I could hear it, and the lights go on also. The light automatically turns on when you're about to come out. So, doing the earplugs was the right thing to do because my ears are absolutely fine right now. I didn't use the halo that you put your head in to float. I didn't need it. I wanted to be immersed. And I just felt great. I only got a little bit of salt in my eye because I sat up too fast at the end and got a little splashed. And then you take a shower before and after you're done. And I think they give you a clarifying shampoo so you can get all the Epsom salts out of your hair. And it's not a particularly conditioning shampoo. And they don't provide you with conditioner. They give you, you can put in leave-in conditioner afterwards. And then immediately after the float, I went and did restorative yoga because I had the session at 3:30 and restorative yoga starts at 5. So I did restorative yoga right there in the studio and it was tremendous. I feel like a new woman, I must say. I must say that I think after doing that, I feel better than I have felt in a very long time. I think the Epsom salts are probably very detoxifying. There's an osmotic effect of drawing stuff out of you. There's certainly the whole thing is very relaxing for your nervous system. And, you know, one of the things that Lyme disease does is it attacks your nervous system. So this is a counterpoint to that, and it helps me to relax. And thank goodness I have a practice of doing a lot of really relaxing things. I've got I do Epsom salt baths at home, which is not like doing a float. When you do Epsom salt baths at home, I put 2 cups of Epsom salts in the tub, in an ordinary bathtub, and I do not float. When I am at the float, there are 1,100 pounds of Epsom salts in the tub, and you float. So, as I remind you, when you're in the tub is not super deep. I mean, it's really only up to your waist or so, and if you sit with your butt down, you sit. You don't float. You don't float until you lay back and then the water is enough to support you. But if you're like, I don't want to be floating right now, all you have to do is sit up and then you won't be floating. And you would have to really work to drown yourself in it. Although people who have a fear of water are not going to like it. It's not Ron's thing. He has no interest in doing the float. But it was so relaxing. How did I seem when I came back from Angie,
mellow.
Yeah. And when did I fall asleep?
Pretty fast.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. Help my sleep. I'm in almost no pain. It's really great. I mean, I have a couple of spots that are sore. I have a little spot in my left wrist that's a little sore. I have my right knee is a little flared, but it's better today than it was yesterday, even though I rode my bike yesterday. So I'm going to stay off the bike for a couple days and get back on Wednesday. And limit myself to yoga for the next couple of days. So I'm excited about the float. I think I had a premonition that I would be turning a corner this weekend. So I've tweaked a few things. I've cut back a little bit on the things that I'm taking. I talked about it with Nicole and I said one of the things that concerns me is that it seems like when I ride my bike, it pushes me to the point where I seem to hurt because I get more symptoms. And she said, well, why don't you cut back on your program a little bit so that you can ride your bike? Because riding the bike is useful because it increases circulation. It increases circulation through my whole body, through my liver, my kidneys. It increases my sweating and it increases lymphatic flow. And increases immunity. So, you know, it's one of the things that Ron and I both discussed this. When your treatment for whatever condition you have makes it so that you can't exercise, is it worth doing? That's something you have to think about. Now, if it's chemotherapy, that's one, and you have cancer, that's one thing. But if it's statin drugs or other drugs that lower cholesterol, is it really worth taking a drug that makes it so that you can't get your exercise when the exercise actually improves cardiovascular health. Same thing with tick-borne illness. If you are taking a treatment that makes you unable to exercise, makes it difficult for you to exercise, is it really worth it? It's not like I've stopped the treatment. It's just that I'm... And what Nicole said made a huge amount of sense. What she said was, so you'll go a little slower. So what? You have time. And that made so much sense. So today I'm feeling really good between the acupuncture and the float and cutting back, but adding the essential oils. I may actually add another herb. I may actually add black walnut. I've got black walnut on order. I might put that in because black walnut can go after both Lyme and Bartonella. And of course, if you have any mold or fungus, it'll go after that as well. And also parasites. Black walnut is very powerful.
The fungus among us.
Yes, the fungus among us. No one wants that. So I may try that. I eat actual walnuts, but I don't know if actual walnuts are going to help. But anyway, so... Today I'm feeling pretty mellow. I feel pretty good, and let's hope it keeps on going. The big thing is moving the lymphatics and finding a way to move the lymphatics that doesn't make you feel bad. Moving the lymphatics too fast might make you feel bad. So if like you take excessive herbs, you do like everything to move the lymphatics. You take the herbs, do the baths, drink the lemon juice. And so what I wasn't realizing in adding the extra herbs is that I'm not doing nothing for the lymphatics. I am doing something. The Epsom salt baths move lymphatics. Anytime you get in water, I'm thinking about maybe I should rejoin the community center and go swimming.
Yeah, there you go.
Because the hydrostatic pressure helps to move flow through the lymphatics. And so I'm thinking about that I might wind up doing that. And of course they have a hot tub at the community center. Although I prefer to be in the Epsom salt baths. And so the berber herb that I take and the lemon that's in with the berber, that moves lymphatics. It moves liver flow. And so does, so do Epsom salt baths. So does eating lemon and grapefruit and other bitter things. So broccoli and ginger are also good things. So one of the things you want to do is that tick-borne illness helps to mess up your Th1, Th2. Those are different kinds of immune cells, white blood cells. And of course, Bartonella goes after white blood cells. It sits intracellularly inside your white blood cells, and it also attaches to your endothelium, which is one of the reasons you do Japanese knotweed and resveratrol when you're dealing with Bartonella. Because Japanese knotweed and resveratrol, and the resveratrol that's in the Japanese knotweed, support the endothelial health. And then what we hope, too, is that the modified citrus pectin, in addition to all the other things it do, the anti-inflammatory things it can do, is it attaches to toxic stuff and helps to move them along. So you hope that the modified citrus pectin gets into your circulation, and one of the things it might do is if there's Bartonella bacteria attached to the inside of your endothelium, it's going to detach them, because modified citrus pectin attaches to endotoxins and bacteria and other compounds that you don't want in your body, and it moves them along. And that's one of the things that it does. So I'm going to keep taking the modified citrus pectin, just not so much. Why? Because we want to go more easily and regularly. And I'd rather, because one of the things that was happening is I'd taken the modified citrus pectin, continuing to eat fruit and vegetables and nuts and seeds, including chia and hemp seeds, which I try to have chia and hemp, at least chia seeds, maybe hemp too, pretty much every day. And things were not moving quickly, and usually that moves stuff right along. So I think I found a better balance with just the two scoops of the modified citrus pectin, which is still a lot. I mean, the company that sells Pectisol C, they recommend taking just one scoop a day. And the other thing is that Pectisol C, other stuff can be coming out. It can be taking out yeast. It can be taking out heavy metals. There's all kinds of long-term, friends been on the planet for 60 years stuff that it's attaching to and escorting out. So it's all very interesting stuff, and it's really one of the things, as I said, about being a naturopathic physician and going through an illness is I get inside the illness and get to experience it, so I get to figure out how to treat it so I can help you better. So all of the things that I'm suggesting are things that might be available to you. Once again, remember that as I'm sitting here talking to you. This is not me telling you that you should do something, that that if you are considering trying a treatment, it's a really good idea to consult with your own physician and talk to somebody directly. That me giving you information is just that. It's me giving you information for you to ponder and think about. So I'm excited. I signed up for a charity ride so that I'm going to ride 100 miles for a particular charity in the month of February, and I'm hoping I can do that. I'm almost up to 100 miles this month. So if this month where I've curtailed my riding, I'm almost at 100 miles. I'm at 87 miles now this month. You're at way more. Oh my God. I mean, if you were tracking your miles.
I'm at hours.
Right.
Hours. I'm not at miles, but yeah.
I'm at both because everything goes into Strava, and Strava tracks both.
Right.
So, and my hours of yoga are a lot more than my hours of bicycle, which I just find yoga just so healing. And I just want to remind you that yoga really is healing, and whatever kind of yoga you do is going to be helpful for you, whether you're doing Bikram, which is the hot yoga, or some version of hot yoga where you're doing yoga in a 100-degree environment. Bikram is great. I wouldn't do Bikram every day because it's like you shouldn't do overly detoxifying treatments every day. It's too intense. Whereas you could do gentle or moderate yoga every day if you wanted to. And I do some kind of yoga every day. Now, when I say every day, we're talking that in the morning, unless I'm taking a class, and I tend to only take classes in the morning on Saturday morning. So unless I'm taking a class, if I do yoga in the morning, it's going to be a 10 to 30 minute practice, and that's it. If I have time, I might do a 30 minute practice, and but usually it's somewhere between 10 and 30 minutes. And if I've ridden my bike and I'm not about to take a class, then I'm going to do maybe 10 to 20 minutes of something stretchy, and that's it. And if I need to be calm that morning, like before work, I'm going to do probably a half hour yin practice where it's very, very calming, depending how I'm feeling. On Friday mornings where I don't have a lot of time to get myself up and out and to the office, I will tend to do a 10 to 15 minute practice, not yin. I'll tend to do a more energizing practice, with some stretches and maybe vinyasa, but only 10 to 15 minutes. And then that night I'll come home and definitely do either restorative. If I can get to restorative class, I do restorative. And if I can't make it to class, I do something that's very gentle and yin. And then every night when I come back from work, I'm going to do a 15 to 20 minute practice on Tuesday and Thursday nights. So you don't have to feel like when you're going to do yoga that you have to have time. It has to be an hour class, and it has to be at a studio. If you have that mindset, you're only going to do it once in a while, unless you have made it part of your life. Now, if you have, that's wonderful. But not everybody can do that. And I find that I mix and match. I mostly do yoga at home because that's the way my life goes. I'm not in a place where I can make it to a studio regularly. So I have a Zoom membership, and I do as many Zoom classes as I can during the week. If the stars all fall into place, that's going to be, 4 classes a week, because I do, two restorative classes on the weekend, and then Saturday and Monday I do vinyasa classes. That often doesn't happen. It's usually, more like 2 to 3 times I'll take those classes. It all depends. It depends on how I'm feeling. And then the rest of the time I'm doing it by way of, at home, YouTube practices, and 10 to 20 minutes, and that's it. So that's definitely something you can do. It's something that you might be able to fit in. And I've noticed that I have explained that to a number of patients who were in the mindset of yoga is something that happens when you go to a studio and has to be at least an hour long. And I said, don't think that way. Think about yoga as something you can do anytime, anywhere. Absolutely, if you can do a class at a studio or through Zoom through a studio, you're supporting local business, you're supporting a wonderful business, and you're getting a live class in real time. And that's a really good thing to do. But if it's going to mean that you do yoga more, if you think of it as something that, hey, I'm waiting at my kid's game, so why don't I get on the grass and do some poses? Hey, I just went for a bike ride with my friends, and now we're having a tailgate party in the park. How about if I do, just, you know, while I'm sitting talking to them, I'll do some stretches. You can do it anytime, anywhere, really. Hey, I'm in a hotel, and I'm at a conference, and, you know, there's some room on the floor. Why don't I set up, why don't I do some poses here? Hey, I'm at a conference. Why don't I go into the other room in between sessions and do some stretches? I've done that. I don't care who sees me. That's the other thing. You have to not care who sees you. And some people do. I don't care. I'm like, you know, good. They see me doing yoga. Maybe they'll come over and join me. Wouldn't that be nice? So anyway, yoga is for everybody, anytime, anywhere, and does not have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to be you standing on your head or doing some difficult pose like Bird of Paradise. It can be just you doing some basic stretches, some basic things that are accessible to you. There was a funny post on Facebook this weekend where there was a young girl who was stretching in class, and she's in what we call caterpillar pose. So her legs are out in front of her and she's bending forward. And she had two sneakers that were pointed upright on her thighs, and her arms were reached out, and she was holding onto the sneakers to modify her stretch. And there was a comment that they were laughing at her, that she was taking the easy way out. And I posted on there, you know, she's not taking the easy way out. If you are in a place where you need to use props to make the pose accessible to you, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. And if you don't have yoga blocks in your house, you can use whatever you have. You can use pillows. It's perfectly, it was very clever of the young girl to use sneakers. That there's nothing wrong with what she did. And so I got some support for posting that. So just realize that if you don't have you don't have props at home, you can use whatever you have. You can use shoes, you can use blocks, you can use pillows, you can use books, whatever you have that works for you, blankets, anything. You can pile them up, and if you can't get into a pose the way the teacher is getting in, you sit up higher and do whatever is accessible to you. And a good teacher is going to encourage you to do that. They're not going to make you strain to be in a certain pose. I'm very excited about progress, and how I'm coming along and stuff like that. So just wanted to let you know. All right. So let's talk about some other stuff. We were talking about, me having entered my seventh decade. There's some more health tips for, my seventh decade.
I know. That sounds funny.
It does sound funny. You're in your eighth. No, you're not. You're in your seventh as well.
I'm still there.
You're approaching your eighth decade.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, you've got less than 2 years to your eighth decade. How exciting is that?
Yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
So, wait.
Consider the alternative.
It's all true. It's all true. So, the alternative is truly a problem.
Right.
Or no longer a problem, if you look at it that way.
Right. Not for right? you, anyway. It would be very...
No.
If I were still here and it were no longer a problem for you, I would be very sad.
Ah, you'll adjust.
Oh, my God. All right. So here, let's talk about the best supplements to help with aging. Here's some suggestions for supplements you can take when, as part of aging. There's a lot of things you may want to consider. So here's something I have talked about endlessly, which is curcumin. Curcumin is the main active component in turmeric, and it's a wonderfully cellular protective. It has a lot of antioxidant effects. It is anti-inflammatory. It lowers a lot of different interleukins cytokines that are part of the inflammatory cycle in your body. And there's a thing called cellular senescence. That is, cells as they age, they stop dividing. And senescent cells that don't divide accumulate, which is supposed to accelerate aging and disease progression. Curcumin activates proteins that help delay cellular senescence and promote longevity. So it's a longevity supplement. And curcumin helps to combat cellular damage, and it can even increase your lifespan, supposedly. It's been shown to postpone age-related disease and symptoms as well. And so curcumin, as I understand it, curcumin, it's not just that it's an antioxidant. It helps. Antioxidants don't just stop oxidation. When they stop oxidation, what they do is they help with healthy gene expression. And so when you have age-related senescence of cells, aging of cells where they stop dividing, the curcumin is going to help them to not do that. So you're going to have more youthful cells that are still dividing if you take curcumin regularly. And you can take, and so when you take curcumin, as you've heard me say before, curcumin is, turmeric and curcumin are not well absorbed in the digestive tract. So if you take unenhanced curcumin, it's going to go through your digestive system, and it's going, and any surface that it touches, it's going to reduce inflammation. And so it's going to reduce inflammation in your digestive system. So we have Ron doing curcumin to help to reduce inflammation in his digestive system so he doesn't get that intestinal blockage again. And his curcumin is not enhanced. It's just C3 curcumin. It is the absorbable curcuminoids, but there's no black pepper in it, and there's no, it's not water enhanced. It's not a phytosome. So what I recommend, if you want the curcumin to get into your circulation and be absorbed from your digestive system, you need to have curcumin that is either paired with bioperine, which is extract of black pepper, or in the phytosome form, where it's attached to phosphatidylcholine. And phosphatidylcholine is going to help it get into cells, because the cells are going to be interested in absorbing the phosphatidylcholine. And so when the cells see the phosphatidylcholine, they grab onto it, and whatever is attached to it is going to get into the cells. And so anything that's in a phytosome form is going to be better absorbed by your cells. And then there's also, there's two other very powerful absorptibilities. One of them is water dispersed. So water dispersed curcumin is also very absorbable. And then the last one, the latest and greatest, is amorphous curcumin. So apparently amorphous curcumin is greatly absorbable. When you buy the amorphous curcumin, it's the most orange colored curcumin that I've seen. It's very nice. If you're taking a very absorbable curcumin, you want to follow the instructions for dosing, because you don't want to take too much, because it can push, guess what? It pushes bile flow. So it pushes your bile flow too much, and you have stones or you have a lot of sludge, you could get symptoms. So you want to be careful with that. All right, then there's EGCG, which stands for epigallocatechin gallate, and it's a polyphenol, another antioxidant that helps with healthy gene expression. We use EGCG and curcumin to help people who have had cancer, to help their cells to have normal expression and not turn into cancer cells. And EGCG has been shown to promote a reduced risk of certain cancers and cardiovascular disease. The thought is that it helps to restore mitochondrial function in cells and act on pathways that are involved in aging. It also induces autophagy, the process where your body removes damaged cellular material. So that's nice. And green tea intake and protection against aging skin can be helpful. It can reduce hyperpigmentation caused by ultraviolet light. So that's interesting. So you might get less of a tan or less unwanted hyperpigmentation if you take EGCG. And if you increase your daily green tea, it may suppress your brain aging, and it'll activate your nerve cells and reduce stress. You can get it in by drinking green tea, or you can take supplements, and you can get EGCG that's been decaffeinated. That is a possibility. So if caffeine is an issue for you, you can get you can get green tea extract that has no caffeine in it. Then there's collagen, and I am taking collagen. I'm taking curcumin. I'm taking collagen. I drink green tea sometimes, but I'm not taking a supplement, and I may rethink that. So as you age, your production of collagen that helps you maintain your skin structure slows, and you get more wrinkles. So if you supplement with collagen, it may reduce signs of aging. And there was a study with in women there where they had where women took 2.5 grams of collagen with other ingredients like biotin, It significantly improves skin hydration, roughness, and elasticity, and that collagen supplements improve your skin elasticity. So collagen, we can't say for sure because these are just studies, but it may be something else that helps your skin elasticity. It certainly seems to be helpful in rebuilding joints. That when you take collagen, there's more joint comfort, more joint repair, and help like that. Then there's CoQ10, something else I'm taking. It's an antioxidant. Your body does actually produce coenzyme Q10. And part of its pathway is the HMG-CoA reductase pathway, which is the pathway that makes cholesterol. So if you block cholesterol with a statin, which blocks the HMG-CoA reductase enzyme, you can block your production of coenzyme Q10. So it's a good idea if you're taking a statin to take coenzyme Q10, and that you'll bypass that blockage. There is a thinking that CoQ10 levels decline as you age, and supplementing with it can help the health of older people. It's been studied that when you take CoQ10 and selenium, and you could take selenium, you could also take glutathione, which will have selenium in it. So selenium is a cofactor for glutathione. So if you're taking either one, it's going to be helpful. When you take CoQ10 and selenium, it can improve your quality of life, less hospital visits, less physical mental deterioration, the CoQ10 may reduce oxidative stress. Once again, that it's an antioxidant, and help your heart health by reducing the stiffness in your arteries, lowering your blood pressure, and preventing the buildup of oxidized cholesterol. Then there's nicotinamide riboside and nicotinamide mononucleotide, so NRF2, that kind of stuff. Actually, this is NAD. So NAD is found in every cell in your body, and it's a metabolite of vitamin B3, niacin, and it helps with energy metabolism, DNA repair, and gene expression, and its level declines with age, and that may be associated with accelerated physical decline and age-related diseases like Alzheimer's. The NAD precursors like NMN and NR helps to restore your NAD levels. So there was a study where people took NR that they saw that their NAD levels increased. That's another supplement that's something you can get. You can get supplements that are labeled as NRF2 enhancers, and then it's going to have your NMN and some other factors that increase your NAD. Crocin. I haven't heard of that. Oh, crocin, because it's an extract of crocus, which is the genus of saffron. And saffron is popular, but it's pricey, and it's used in Indian and Spanish cuisine. So crocin has a lot of health benefits. It's anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, antidepressant, anti-anxiety, anti-diabetes. Also, one of the ways we use saffron is for women who have PMS. It seems to help with that. There are studies that show that crocin helps prevent age-related nerve damage. It helps you to have less advanced glycation end products. So it's a wonderful antioxidant and less reactive oxygen species. It's been shown to help prevent aging in human skin cells. It protects against cellular damage and UV light. The problem is it's expensive. So the herb is expensive. So it might be a little less, more cost effective just to do a supplement in this case. Good old vitamin C, which is not expensive and it's easy to find and something you can have on board. You can eat it in your food. You can take it in supplements. I do both. It protects cells from oxidative damage. It helps with immune function. It's good for health. It protects against healthy aging. There's adults over 60, the ones with higher blood levels of vitamin C did better on tasks with attention, focus, memory. Sometimes I have my patients come in and they're bruising a lot. And I'm like, and I wonder what they're eating. And I'm like, well, maybe you should just try taking some vitamin C. And turns out maybe they're not able, as people age and if they're not feeling well, they don't always eat right. And like they might be having toast and tea and that's mostly what they're eating. So they can become vitamin C deficient. They can become deficient in a number of vitamins. And I've had patients who I'm concerned that they're not eating right, that just put on some vitamin C and it can help their help them with their bruising. There's evidence that suggests supplementing with vitamin C helps your immune function as you age. Older adults have a higher risk of suboptimal or deficient vitamin C than younger adults and middle-aged adults. And like I said, if they're not eating enough vitamin C. And then there's vitamin E. It helps with immune function and regulation of inflammation. And there's some thought that when you, as you get older, you need more vitamin E to help your aging process. Then there's L-theanine. It's an amino acid concentrate that's found in green tea. And there's evidence that it helps with brain function. It certainly can be helpful for calming. It's something I tend to give people for anxiety, but it can also help your liver to work better. It also helps with oxidative stress and inflammation. There's wonderful rhodiola, which is a nice plant. I think of it as an alternative. It's something that it reduces inflammation. It helps with thyroid function. And there's some ideas that it might help with longevity as well. Then there's astragalus. In Chinese medicine, it's used to reduce inflammation, and it helps with oxidative stress, promotes immune function and cellular damage. It activates telomerase so that it helps to maintain your telomere length. So telomeres, so when you have chromosomes, right? And chromosomes are the genetic codes inside of each of your cells. And when your cell goes to divide, it organizes itself. It lines up the chromosomes. And then the chromosomes will divide. They'll reproduce themselves and they'll divide. And now you have two new cells. So at the ends of these lines of chromosomes are these caps. They're called telomeres. And think of it like you have a shoelace. And you know how when you have shoelaces, at either end of the shoelace, there's a bit of plastic that keeps the shoelace from unraveling. Well, that's what telomeres are. And the longer your telomeres are, the more protection you have of your chromosomes. And so if you have longer telomeres, you're going to have more survival of cells. And when, if you activate your telomerase, you're going to keep your telomeres long, which means you're going to increase longevity of your cells. It's very nice. And so the astragalus helps to do that. Then there's fisetin, I haven't actually heard of. It's a senotherapeutic, which means it can kill senescent cells. And it's been studied in rodent cells. This doesn't tell you. It's a flavonoid, so I'm not sure what foods fisetin is in. This is me first hearing about it. Then there's resveratrol. You've heard me go on and on about resveratrol. Resveratrol is in grapes, berries, peanuts, and red wine. And if you really want to get a lot of benefit from resveratrol, it's probably a good idea to take it, because just the levels you're going to get in grapes and red wine is not going to be super high. If you don't have a particular reason to take it, then by all means get it from your food. But if you're really trying to fight inflammation, in Ron's case, we're fighting cardiovascular inflammation to an extent, in my case too, resveratrol is something we use for Bartonella, because one of the reasons we use it is because Bartonella will hang out in your endothelium, and resveratrol is helpful for protecting the endothelium. I like to give resveratrol to people who have elevated oxidized LDL, and so that's my go-to. I probably should be doing CoQ10 for those people as well. But it's a great antioxidant, it's a great anti-inflammatory, it's a great cytokine calmer, so it's good if you have COVID, or if you have sequelae to COVID, and if you have tick-borne illness, it's helpful as well. Then there's sulforaphane, which is a sulfur compound. It's in cruciferous vegetables. It's very high in broccoli and broccoli sprouts. And it's been shown to increase the lifespan of certain animals that it's been studied in. And sulforaphane, you get your sulforaphanes mostly from cruciferous vegetables. You can get it in concentrates in supplement form as well. wonderfully detoxifying and lifespan enhancing. I think I'm going to add green tea extract to what I'm taking. I'm going to start taking EGCG because that has enough antioxidant benefits. I'm going to go back here and look at the EGCG again. EGCG, that's, again, that's extract of green tea. Of course, I'm after it for the cancer protection. I like the fact that it restores mitochondrial function. That's one of the things I'm interested in because between long COVID and, you know, post-vaccine syndrome and tick-borne illness, these things make you tired. And I think it poops out your mitochondrial function. It has an effect on your mitochondrial function. Coenzyme Q10 is something to take if you were looking at mitochondrial function, but I wasn't thinking of EGCG in terms of mitochondrial function. So if you want something that's going to help energize you, EGCG might be helpful. I'm going to try it. I'm absolutely going to get the EGCG that has no caffeine in it. All right. So those are some supplements that can be helpful in terms of healthy aging. All right, let's talk about something, a topic that we'll get into a little bit, and that is ageism. So that's prejudice against people who are older, and ageism So this is how to live your best life as you age. Be nice to your skin. You want to wear sunscreen and protective clothing when you're outside and get screened for skin cancer. Use gentle products in your skincare routine and stay hydrated, drinking lots of water. Drinking lots of water as we age, people don't always do that, and I'll demonstrate, right? That hydrating is so important. My friend Evan Johnson used to say to me, hydrate or die, which is really true. You do need to keep your hydration going at all times, and people, as they age, don't always prioritize drinking water. And that's very concerning because, and one of the reasons is going to the bathroom. If you have anything that makes it hard for you to go to the bathroom, like making it to the bathroom on time, or like you have orthopedic issues that make it harder for you to go to the bathroom, or you have trouble getting up and down from the toilet, one of the things to do, of course, is to take care of your orthopedic health. And so that you can make it to the bathroom, because it's better to drink a lot of water and go to the bathroom more than it is to not drink a lot of water, because we see dehydration can look in an elderly person. It can look like they're having a stroke, and dehydration can also make you constipated, and constipation can make it look like you're having a stroke. You can get delirious and have symptoms as though it's a stroke. And of course, if you think a person is having a stroke, you have to take them right to the ER, and they could wind up in the ER and find out they're either constipated or dehydrated. And that's all it is. So prevent that by drinking lots of water and making sure that you're healthy enough to make it to the bathroom. If you have to have a commode in your bedroom, a urinal in your bedroom, you can do that. And there's also the PureWick device that's for women at this point. I don't know if they've set it up for men yet, but the PureWick device is a wicking device where it doesn't go inside you. It's applied next to a woman's vulva. And if she leaks water, it just sucks it up and it puts it into a container on the nightstand or on a table. And it's very effective, and it's nice because it's not a catheter. It doesn't go inside you. It's just something that sits next to the vulva, and as urine comes out, it sucks it all up. And if you have proper urinary function, they use it in hospitals now. If the person has proper urinary function, but they've had surgery so that they can't get out of bed, they don't have to catheterize, because catheterization gives you more likelihood of getting infections, of getting urinary tract infections. And they're invasive and they don't feel good. Whereas having this thing is just sitting next to you, and you have to let yourself pee, and then it just takes the urine out, and it's an amazing thing. And so it's used in hospitals, and it's used at home for people who have mobility issues for whatever reason. So it's very important to hydrate, to continue to hydrate. And if you have mobility, then that's good. just go to the bathroom a lot. It's worth it to do. And certainly in my detox function, I'm hydrating more, therefore using the bathroom more. It is what it is. All right. Another thing to help you age gracefully is to get exercise. And what's the best exercise for you?
The one you'll do.
Right.
With my mouth.
Exactly. Getting regular exercise reduces your risk of diseases, including heart disease. It maintains your mobility, which we just talked about. It reduces stress, improves sleep, skin and bone health, mood. And so what you want to do is at least 2.5 to 5 hours a week of moderate intensity, or 1.25 to 2.5 hours of vigorous exercise. Muscle strengthening activities of moderate intensity or greater that'll involve all your major muscle groups 2 days or more per week. That can be with weights, that can be body weight, and that can be yoga. So yoga where you're actually doing some strength, where you're standing and doing warrior one and warrior two, or you're doing vinyasas, where you're on the floor doing planks and holding yourself up. Walking, swimming, dancing, and cycling are considered to be aerobic. And muscle and bone strengthening activities, you can use weights, you can use resistance bands, you can use body weight. And as you're older, you want to focus on activities that also use balance. So like Ron has talked about this, that one of the things that he works on in his Silver Sneakers classes is exercises that improve balance.
It's all about the balance,
all
right?
All about the balance, yes. Right. Watch what you eat. So eat healthy. What are you going to eat? This is going to be pretty obvious. Fruits and vegetables, fresh, frozen, canned, whatever you can get in. lean protein, fish, beans, chicken, poultry. I think it's fine to eat animal protein if you can digest it. If you can eat mammalian protein, as long as it's either wild-caught or cleanly raised. So somebody has a deer for you or you go hunting deer, that's fine. And if you have grass-fed and finished beef, that's fine too. A cleanly raised pork. If you digest those things well and they sit with you well, that's perfectly fine. I'm not so great with mammals, although I can do a little bit of beef sometimes. And especially if I've exercised a lot. This time of year, I tend not to do beef because my exercise isn't as intense. But we had chili last night. We had turkey chili last night. I did just fine with it.
Yeah, good.
So that was great. Yeah. I think when early on in my my inflammatory journey, like in late 21 and early 22, we tried some chili and I didn't do well with it. So we haven't been having chili. But I did well with the chili. And this was chili that had been frozen for a long time and
a little while.
Thawed.
Since last winter. Yep.
Right. And I did fine with it. So let's get the turkey chili on. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Mm.
So good. Okay. You can do whole grain cereals if you do grains. Just make sure they're 100% whole grain. At the farmer's market this week, they had gluten-free quinoa-based pasta, granola. So excited. So I don't tend to eat a big bowl of granola. I use granola as a garnish on my coconut-based yogurt. So I have a small bit and as a garnish to not overdo, because granola can be high in carbs, and if it's sweetened, it can be high in sweet. So I just do a little bit to make my yogurt more tasty. They suggest dairy. I would only suggest dairy if you digest it well. If you're having trouble with weight, I don't suggest a lot of dairy because the whey protein increases insulin. I suggest finding other ways to get protein. If you digest dairy well, then doing grass-fed dairy is great, and doing fermented dairy from grass-fed animals is also great. And if you have grass-fed dairy, you're going to get more conjugated linoleic acid. You're going to get more vitamin K2. Conjugated linoleic acid is anti-inflammatory, helps with blood sugar regulation and therefore weight. Vitamin K2 helps with bone strength, among other things, and cardiovascular health. Your mental health matters. Make sure you spend time with friends and loved ones. Don't be lonely. Have a strong social network. Not only human ones, but fur babies as well. Having a pet is linked to lower stress and blood pressure. And my puppy brother went to the Rainbow Bridge. I'm so sad. And so my mom is without my puppy brother. We got her a Wormie, which is a small, it's a stuffed animal that has a core in it that you can put it in the microwave and it warms up. And she doesn't care that much about warming it up, but she likes having it with her. Because we got one that looks, it's actually supposed to be a Labrador, but it's fluffy, so it kind of looks like Nico. And my mom loves it. She hangs out when she's lounging around, she keeps it with her. It's really cute. So I guess the Storch ladies are into stuffed animals.
I guess.
Yeah.
How many do we have?
It's okay that you're your age. If you have a positive attitude about the fact that you're 60 or 68 in his case, you're going to do much better. Yeah.
When did that happen?
I know. But you can't do anything about it, so you might as well embrace it. And don't apologize for it and understand that that's where you're at and it's just fine. Do fun stuff. Do hobbies, volunteer, do things that give you pleasure, whatever that is, whether it's reading a book or knitting or going to the beach or being in nature. Make sure you do things to make you happy. Obviously, stay physically active. You're going to have less chronic illness if you're physically active. And walks, hikes, vacations, exercise, silver sneakers, yoga, you name it, whatever it is. Don't smoke. Don't do too much alcohol. Smoking is just bad for you in so many ways. It causes oxidative stress. It causes damage to lots of cells in your body. There's lots of compounds in cigarettes and even in cigars that cause oxidative stress and toxicity in your body. And find resources to help you, including hypnotherapy. That's something that can help you. If you have a couple of drinks a week, it's probably not a big deal. But if you're drinking to excess, there's all kinds of problems that alcohol can cause. So alcohol depletes your B vitamins. It interferes with your sleep. It takes up the resources of your liver for detoxification, so it can be really problematic. Make sure you sleep. And if you're having trouble with sleep, make sure you get help for that. And, you know, things, and try to do things that are not drugs. I mean, if you have to take a drug, that's one thing, but it's better if you can find ways to help you sleep that don't involve pharmaceuticals, like taking Epsom salt baths, like taking magnesium, like not drinking less alcohol, less caffeine, doing restorative meditative yoga is really helpful as well. Finding new hobbies is a great idea. And there's actually, I think that we're going to have, I'm going to start up with number 10 next week because this is a really good article here. So I want to tell you about what else is in it. So we'll pick up here next week with some more things that help you with healthy evening, starting with practicing mindfulness. So you're listening to Radio Naturopath. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.